Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 417 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am Glenn.
Fellas, this is the first time this year we've got three wins. Or is it the second time? Well, this is one of the only times, right? If not the first
time. You could be forgiven for thinking it's the only time because someone who doesn't need to be named's team is a fucking dumpster fire.
Yeah, well, this...
But I believe it's the second
the
time.
The second time, right. Well, great. What a great weekend of action there, fellas.
What a fucking cracking start we're off to, you piece of shit. You go fuck yourself.
Did you see the person in the... I will digress, but did you see the person in the Facebook group
yes,
that said
I know
how
exactly
much they loved it?
Like,
I can't remember who it was. I fucking find it in the Facebook, but you know, who said, like, you know, I love how it starts off, you know, with, like, the mental health... ad and everything, and then you come in, you go, fuck off, you know, you're not my friends.
I'm not your mate, go fuck yourself.
Oh, fucking, that cracked me up. So for one of the only times, and it may well be the last time this season, we're all on the winning side, so
yes,
we all have an enjoyable episode.
Yeah.
And feel that warm glow and bask
now,
in the bonhomie
just
that comes with being
winners. To give credit where it's due, it was John in our Facebook group who said that. So, John, thank you for your astute observation. And we assure you that we do indeed care about Glennie.
Because when he laid
I
it out,
love the look on your face when you say that. It's so you're just so cute. You're just so cute when you do it. Your little face lights up. It's lovely. You're a cunt. You're a proper cunt. But you're cute.
Hey, can I tell you, I know this is an audio medium, but on my screen at the moment I've got Glenn on the top half of the video and Nate on the bottom half of the video. And every time Glenn says something, Nate rolls his eyes, and it looks like the opening of the Brady Bunch, where he's rolling his eyes like up at him, going like, "What the fuck is happening up there?"
I wasn't I was trying to do the Harvey face. I was like doing like this. I was just like,
"Hello."
I was just trying to do the Harvey face, but yeah, I'm glad it worked for you, like the Brady Bunch.
Though. Yes. Well, hang on. Was the other time Magic Round? Did we all win at Magic Round?
Yes.
Did you win a Magic Round, Glenn?
Are you kidding? We fucking destroyed the Knights.
Destroyed
them.
Yes.
Is that the other time it happened? Oh, is it a Suncorp, a Queensland thing?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Can I tell you, it's going to stop next week. Is it the next 2 weeks?
You're right. Next week.
You've got Manly next week and then Penrith the week after, right, Glenn?
No. Penrith's around 24.
But we have his other team next week. We got Brisbane.
You're a fucking
That's
cock.
What it was. I knew there were two games in a row.
When did you morph into Mr. Wars? Really?
Oh,
like, you've been on this upward trajectory, and now you've just fucking pulled the ripcord, and now you're fucking becoming that cock.
Look, there was a time back in 2002 where we crossed the streams. So who knows what's been happening in the space-time continuum.
I'm sorry.
The round 18, hey?
I instantly regretted that.
Round 18 of action.
Yes.
Let's get into it, shall we, gentlemen?
Yeah, good.
Start it.
And we kicked off on Friday night with the Gold Coast Titans playing the Eels down there in at CBUS. And just hold on a moment. Let me get the thing up. For some reason, it hasn't loaded up properly, so let me just quickly hit refresh. There we go. Okay, so the Eels 26 defeat the Titans 8 down there at CBUS. it says 15,000, and I guess actually no, the Friday night crowds didn't look too bad. That's right. Yeah. So the Eels 26 came through tries to Dylan Brown, Sean Lane, and Reed Marnie, Hayes Dunster, Ryan Madison as well. Gutho 3 of 5 conversions. Titans 8 tries to Brian Kelly and David Fifita, and that's it.
I think Reed Marnie was a big in for Para. His return was huge. They looked a different side, and he immediately took control of the ruck. And Para,
he's a great example of injecting energy into a team, isn't he?
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say that his game isn't. He doesn't really have a skill that is so far above anyone else in his position. But he's just got grit and as you say, energy, and he's got that whatever belief his teammates have in him when he's on the field, you know, they look to him and he lifts them.
Yeah, that's it.
He's a key for Para, I think, making a real challenge come finals time or you know, if he stays fit and healthy. So and playing 80 quality minutes, which Arthur said, you know, they intend to play him 80 a week. So he's a massive key for Para. I thought this game was turned on its head with the Proctor sin binning. The Titans showed fuck all resilience, to be honest, and Para ran in 3 tries whilst Proctor was off the field, and the momentum never swung back anywhere near the Titans, and Para finished pretty strong.
That does seem to be the Titans' MO this year.
Yeah.
It seems to be that if they can stay in a game, they're in it. And they're a chance up against most teams. But the minute they feel like it's going to be a struggle to get back, or the minute they're out of the fight for a little while, they don't seem to have that way back in.
Mm.
And you would assume with them going in with that forward pack, you know, on paper, you know, because they put a lot of money and effort into acquisition of that forward pack, that's where it is. But what they don't seem to have is either the guy in that forward pack that's going to lead the way, you know, and you just spoke about Marnie for the Eels. But aside from that, if they don't have one of those, what you need is the guy who's going to direct them there. And they don't seem to have that either. They really have no on-field leader. They have guys who will try their guts out.
Mm. I think Fogarty is probably the most likely, but he's just not there yet.
No, I mean, not at all. Not
yeah, but the root of the problem is even worse than that for the Titans. The problem with the Titans is they literally have like the fucking lowest level of defense in the competition. Mm. Like just the
Did you watch the Cowboys goal line defense against Richard? We'll get to that.
The Titans' defense is just like their defensive IQ is just fucking negative.
Mm.
They're just hopeless.
Yeah,
and then you take them down to 12 men, then yeah, it's going to get even worse. And like you were saying, that you know when they get themselves out of a game, and they need something to happen to get them back into the game, like a try or some piece of fortune that comes their way, and
gets them
back up again. And
yeah, they don't just grind and chip away.
No,
but even then, like they're at the stage there. They got a couple of sets where they look like they were building momentum. But again, it wasn't anything they were doing. They were Eels' errors that put them in that position, and they didn't even have the knots to capitalize on that. So, the Titans are unfortunately looking like they're going to end the year as it'll be the grand final of them and the Raiders in biggest underachievement of the season, and I think the Raiders get an extra boost there because they've fallen so far from being a grand finalist a couple of years ago. But, Titans.
Because it comes down to the Titans on paper, like you say. Like that side, at full strength on paper, is a top 8 side every day of the week.
We remember at the beginning of the year, everyone was saying, look at that forward pack. You don't need world-class halves if you're playing behind that forward pack.
But it was also like with those halves, though, they finished the season last year extremely well. And so we got that side that finished the season really well.
Plus Tino, plus Fifita.
With the addition of Tino and David Fifita. Exactly. And then, so they're going to be, you know, that plus that, and it's not worked out that way at all.
That's it.
It's obviously got a long-term plan. I think if this season's proven anything, with those two signings in particular, with Fifita and Tino, is that it shows their age and the positions they play. I think, as I said, the Titans have a long-term plan as those guys get older with this, you know, when their experience and their football IQ matches their skill and ability and strength, that's when they'll have that forward pack that everyone thinks they should have now.
Beautiful.
And just hire a defensive coach. Like, legitimately, their defense is just dumb. Like, cluelessly dumb.
On the socials, Nathan in the Facebook group said, Titans really getting their money's worth out of Fifita. Three runs for 16 metres after 30 minutes and then got hooked.
Mm-hmm.
That, see, again, that's an issue on two fronts. There's Fifita, who's not going looking for work himself. But then counter to that, there's no one there forcing it upon him.
Yeah, there's no one going, like, barking at him like a...
Yeah, you know, that's it.
Someone screaming at him going, fucking, well, you're the guy.
Can you imagine Jonathan Thurston if Matt Scott, and fucking he would never have actually done this, I don't want to besmirch his good name, but in a parallel universe, if he'd have had those stats.
Yeah.
Can you not imagine, like, Thurston would have run fucking 10 metres across field to pass the ball to him and say, have a hit up, cunt.
Yeah. Even Mitchell, fucking run hard. Even Mitchell Moses. And I'm loath to give that cunt any credit.
So, Rishi with an interesting take here. He said, I used to coach a Penrith first grader in the off season. I asked him who had the most talent on the team, and without hesitation, he said, Wonga Blake. I wonder where that talent went. He's done little to nothing for years now. That's a fucking fascinating
story.
What
was he coaching him in the off season to do? Feed himself?
No, he used to coach another Penrith first grader years ago.
Yeah.
DM us, email us, whatever. Give us that story. That sounds fucking intriguing. Benso on Twitter said the Eels clocked off with 20 minutes to go, but the better team still won. Great game from Maddo. Yeah, he was good, I thought. On Instagram, CatLike7 said Jamal Fogarty calmly walks off field with a compound fracture. # tough game. Well, was that a comp? I thought it was, I knew it was a fracture. I didn't know it was a compound fracture.
Yeah, the compound's got to be poking out, yeah?
It's poking out, yeah.
Well, it's broken skin. The bone doesn't have to be sticking out.
Okay.
It's,
yeah, right.
I think, being a doctor and all.
That's how you did yours.
We can ask the bush doctor, Glenn.
Yeah. Well, look, Glenn, that's how I did yours. I was walking off the field.
Recorded in a fucking yabby trap.
Tripped on a sprinkler.
That's it. On to the next game.
All right. The Mighty Manly Seagulls, 32, defeat the Dragons, 18. Second game on Friday. Manly's tries through Morgan Harper, Molly Olakuatu, Kieran Foran, Cade Cuss, Brad Parker, Ruben Garrick, 5 conversions from 5 attempts and a penalty goal. The Dragons, 18, came through tries to Tyrell Sloan, Josh Maguire, Jared Beale, Jack Bird, 2 conversions from 3 attempts and a penalty goal.
Floor is yours.
Look, pretty happy. I mean, like, I had this game kind of penciled in as a loss after they decided to rest Daly. We knew that 48 out because the week before, against another terrible side, being the Canberra Raiders, without a proper half in there, they went nowhere, did nothing. Now, the one change from last week to this week, of course, was the return from injury from Josh Schuster. And, I mean, he was fucking amazing. And, like, you know, such a talent. And in the halves, you know, I think he's ultimately going to have to, at least for the next sort of, you know, year or so, I think he's going to have to probably be content with his place as, like, this, you know, second rower that has a license to really ball play how he, you know, what he sees. Which is fine before he ultimately takes over the 5/8 position going forward when Kieran Foran's done. But the difference, we still didn't have a kicking game because, you know, Kieran, you know, he can kick, but he's, you know, he hasn't got this long kicking game and he's not going to, you know, throw out 40-20s and things like that. Cade Cust got more game time this time as well, and so he had some great moments as well, but... Generally, as a team, without, like, you know, probably 4 of their 5, you know, most you know, highly paid players. They fucking, they, you know, they did the job against the Dragon side that needed to get fucking torched. Now, the Dragons, I thought that, like, I mean, I'm no first grade coach, but the Dragons had 12 guys that need to
serve. To be fair, there's a few first grade coaches that are no first grade coaches.
Yeah, look, I would put myself somewhere above Trent Barrett and, you know, below Desi. But the Dragons have 12 guys that had to serve. Was 11 guys with Vaughn getting the ass, but they had they got all these guys that need to serve one match suspension over 3 weeks, right? Mm. I would have thought that they would have seen the Manly game as perhaps not winnable, you know, not as winnable as their next games, because I think they've got the Souths or something in 2 weeks, and they've got the Titans next week. So I would have thought, okay, so the Dragons, you know, like maybe get these suspensions out of the way against Manly. Get them back in against the Titans, which is a much more winnable game, and it's also a team that they're kind of thereabouts within that battle for the, you know, like eighth or, you know, seventh or whatever, and then, you know, and then have, you know, and then have, you know, have them all back again, you know, for South as well to try and kick on. But they didn't. They only rested a couple, so, you know, didn't stop them from missing about 1,000 fucking tackles though.
That was what I was going to say. I'm not sure that much on this game was determined by anything else than St. George's absolute pitiful defensive display. Now, on the same note, they're up against a side who dug in, and again, St. George threw little more than a fucking wet dishcloth at them in attack, but Manly missed 13 tackles all evening.
Yep.
That's a fucking sensational statistic.
Yeah, especially considering, you know, your organisers of defence weren't in the side. And traditionally, defence is not fucking great when they're not there.
Look, the organiser of defence, but let's be real. Most tackles are missed up in the middle. It's not in the last line. You miss one and they score a try. Yeah, that's sure. But in the middle, St. George missed 45 tackles.
Yeah. And once Manly realised that was the fucking, yeah. Once they realised that was, yeah. It took them a little while to realise that was the go. But yeah. Once they did, and like it was funny, like the Dragons were so pitiful in defence at times that like right on half time, before half time, Manly made that shift down the left and they came so close, like they just got cut down right at the, you know, a metre out or something right before half time. Yes. And so what do? They go into the half time break, come out for second half, ran the exact same fucking play, first play of the second 100%. Half and scored straight away.
100%.
And like once they realised, you know, because you got Homoli over there on the right that was just punishing them to the point where they actually switched Willie Army over to the other side of the field just because he was getting molested relentlessly. Yep. and you know, ultimately it didn't change anything. But yeah, their defence, and look, you know, they had a couple of young guys there, but their defence was just not good enough, especially from guys that should have fucking known better. You know, they had plenty of guys that should have known better in there. I mean, it was great to see DeBellin, you know, get a bunch of shit, like penalties against him and fucking mistakes. And
yeah, exactly.
And Josh McGuire getting stripped by Morgan Harper.
Hilarious.
I was just thinking, man, imagine if PNG had a few more Morgan Harpers in those little kids there when McGuire's fucking trolling them with jerseys out the window of the team bus.
Yeah. What they needed was one of them with a machete. Hack the cunt's arm off at the elbow.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah, if there had been a couple more Morgan Harpers up there in PNG that day, I mean, he would have had to have some fucking meetings about getting some new kit.
That's it. On the socials, Toto and the Facebook group said, "I honestly don't believe Schuster knows how to pass a ball while looking at the target."
I love it and hate it in equal measure.
And like, still, the greatest no look pass of all time belongs to Nathan Cleary. Many fucking imitators. I'm glad. You remember it was round four this year. Round four, where he threw the sexiest no-look pass in the history of rugby league. I'll go and find it in the highlights. Somebody else find it in the highlights and send it in. I'm not going to say that I'm going to do that because I'm not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, that'll go nowhere.
Oh, Bailey, I'm looking at you.
Oh,
hashtag.
Man, I'm busy.
John said, "I hope they use the Vaughn money to get rid of Lowry and Kerr. It's like watching Dumb and Dumber or Dick Fingers and Dick Fingerer. Hashtag Mars Barbecue." I like that as a hashtag.
That's cool.
Anthony said, this game just proves most obvious coaching decision ever. Don't play jet ski. Simple.
Yep, word.
Devonhead on Twitter said, you know, Manly might actually be good and the Dragons not as good as they think they are.
But I like it. He had a tweet. He had a tweet that he busted out before the game, sort of, you know, mocking Manly fans, going, "Oh, you know, yeah, blah blah, you know, excuse, they're gonna lose." Yeah, it was the exact opposite of that. So I do give him credit for the graciousness.
That's it.
That he followed up the loss with.
I'm Chuck _ Bass said, superiority always wins over degenerates. Hashtag fuck Jack DeBellin. But tell you what, that fucking tweet certainly has shades of a novel that Anthony Griffin has on his bookshelf, I'm sure. And fucking watch.
I'm certain that Casey was talking about, she was actually talking about those, you know, just talent beating the degenerates.
Cool. Cool. And I understand if Manly people chuck that word superiority around like it's never had any other meaning. You live in your little bubble. Fucking North Shore cunts. Tony B said, a bit clunky in attack at times without DCE and Tommy, but morality drove the Sea Eagles home to defeat the dumbest collective of human beings since the 2004 Bulldogs. There you go, see? Morality did it. Morals. They had morals.
Yep.
Tony, you fucking wordsmith.
And superiority. Moral and otherwise.
Jesus Christ. Surprised you didn't say Manly defeated you people. At @geo_ute said, I'm just apathetic towards this Dragons team. Supporter for decades. However, when the players don't give a shit about the red V and they support at best a bloke who cheated on his pregnant, fuck it, I'm too apathetic to finish my point. Yeah, look, the Dragons need a blow up. Griffin's been there half a season and turning it into the Broncos team that wasn't that good 5 years ago, 2.0, is not proving to be a good plan.
I'm as shocked as anyone.
You reckon in his performance review he'll say, I coached a hooker back to State of Origin selection?
Fuck
me.
He did.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah, on to the next
one. Well, I mean, he coached two hookers back into the Origin side, didn't he? Because they both came from his team.
Yeah, true. That's true. Oh, yeah, but Ben Hunt was always getting selected.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, where are we? The Cowboys. Sydney Roosters, 34, defeat the Cowboys, 18, up there at the abattoir. The Roosters, 34, came through tries to Crichton, Walker, Billy Smith, Joseph Manu, a double to Ikuvalu and Tupanua. Walker, 3 conversions, and the Cowboys, 18, tries to Bowen, Tabuai Fadeau, Reece Robson, and Drinkwater, 3 conversions.
The Cowboys, the thing that stood out for me, touched on earlier, was that Cowboys' inability to defend close to their line was just fucking horribly exposed by the Roosters, who, you know, we've already spoken at length in previous episodes about, you know, their troubles with injuries and stuff. Wasn't even really a full-strength Roosters side, and they just scored at will whenever they got within 10 to 15 metres of the Cowboys' line, which is disappointing for the Cowboys because other than that, they actually took the game to the Roosters and were right in the game up until the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But the Roosters, you could, whenever they got down that end, you could just see they almost expected to score, which is pretty demoralising for the Cowboys. Tabuai Fadeau, obviously with Val Holmes' injury, they shifted him to fullback and his standout for the Cowboys. I'm not sure whether wing, centre or fullback is his preferred spot. He certainly looked at home
I would expect fullback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where he started. That's where he first came into the Cowboys side as well, didn't he? Fullback, and then now he has to be sort of pushed around on the whims of, obviously, they're paying near on $1 million to Valentine Holmes, so he's on fullback money. He's fullback, and
What are your thoughts? Who do you reckon is the fastest? It's got to come down between him, Saab, or Fox. Yeah,
well, yeah, we know Charlie Staines is faster than Josh Adokar.
And Jacob Little is faster than Charlie Staines. So does that make Jacob Little the fastest man in rugby league?
No, Charlie Staines was injured that game.
Charlie Staines is in the conversation anyway. I mean, so
Charlie Staines is the fastest man in rugby league.
Jason Sarver is the fastest at this point until he's proven otherwise. I think the Foxes, you know, the Fox is still fast.
Jason Sarver is benefiting
from being, you know, put in massive holes by, you know, superior playmaking though too. So it's kind of hard, you know, does that really showcase Casey Speed, or is he just be given a saloon ride?
Jason Saab is such a millennial sook that he will need a safe space if we say that he's not the fastest man, even if he doesn't hear us. He'll start shuddering and whimpering. That is how much
based
of an
on literally
millennial
nothing.
Sook he is. Exit from the Dragons.
Hey, well, he just played the game. He just agitated to get his release and he got it.
No.
And now look at him flourishing.
He's the millennial Noffer.
I deserve a first grade spot.
He never took full responsibility for this. He deserved to play in a good side. That was more the thing. And he had to travel 5 minutes less distance to train at the good side than the shit side. And not to mention, I mean, yeah, he did obviously. He had a coach coming in as well that, you know. He saw the likes on Griffin's Twitter account.
In summary, Jacob Little, fastest man in rugby league. Thank you for your time, gentlemen. I thought Victor
when you
Radley...
Say in rugby league, when you say in rugby league, just quickly, when you say in rugby league, I mean, are you talking like... I would assume the baseline... Before we start talking about the speed, I thought the baseline should be... has a first grade position locked in.
Because right now I'm the fastest man in rugby league then.
Oh, you guys are great.
I'll tell you what, I am enjoying this Roosters team that understands how fucking hard they have to work for every win.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, the Roosters teams of recent years that were, you know, slick and skillful and chock full of big names in key positions, they were great to watch. But I'm really enjoying these guys being forced to become old heads sort of midway through the career.
Mm.
Like these guys like Crichton are really being forced to step up in terms of maturity and what they bring to the team probably a couple of years before it was due. And they're doing a very good job of shepherding these young blokes through and instilling a fucking work ethic in them that's going to show in 5 years' time.
Mm.
These young guys that the Roosters are blooding now, all of them, I'm putting it in now, are going to be the big effort players of 5 years' time. They're not going to be the... Like Nate, you said after Origin, you know, Mitchell Moses is the kid who gets there and as soon as they've given him the jumper, he's like, yes, I'm an Origin player now, regardless of the result. Whereas there are other players who take the jumper and say, well, now I have to go and win.
I said that, but...
Glenn said that, but can I just say I do thoroughly agree with him.
Didn't you say that about Luai?
Sorry?
Nate said that about Luai. That you would dominate at that level as well.
No, I said that about Luai. Fuck, be dead. Oh, really? Keep up.
Glenn definitely
I thought it was Nate.
Glenn definitely said the thing about Moses. He definitely 100% said that.
Yeah.
And then I said, Luai gets the jumper and says, now I'm going to dominate at this level.
I don't remember him saying about Luai, but I mean, he said it about Moses, of course, because he's a sour fucking West Tigers supporting cunt who can't let go of the fact that, you know, that,
was I fucking
that,
wrong?
That, no, of the TMB, no, of the TMB, all they've got left is the little punk ass B.
Man, so. I told you fucking 10 years ago Jam Master Jay was going to curse your ass for fucking using that line. You're fucked. You're fucked.
Something has fucking cursed us.
Oh, what you, are you saying that he's not cursed yet? The curse hasn't kicked in yet? What?
Oh, no, but it just won't lift.
Yeah, hate to see it.
Mm. But this Roosters side, while this year they're probably not going to trouble the top teams at finals time, there's a fucking solid foundation there moving forward.
I want to say Radley as well. He looks to be stung by Robbo's criticism quite publicly after his incident on the getting kicked off the plane.
Yep.
And I think he's, you know, in line with what you were saying, some of these guys that are being forced to step up for different reasons, but he's really by way of his effort and trying to lift those around him. And I think he's, you know, overall overriding factor. He wants to make up for the mistake that he made off the field. So Robbo seems very measured, and he wouldn't have struck me as someone that would publicly slam a player if he didn't have an ulterior motive, as far as he knows what is going to motivate the guy.
Yeah.
So
well, that's the other thing strategic. You can do, though. If you have a strong culture, and it's something close to home for me, because it's a culture that I try and instill in the family here, that there is a fucking, there's a big separation between what you do and who you are. You know, in that if you fuck up, that is something that you have done, and we can work on that. It's not who you are.
Mm.
You know, so if we need to have hard chats about things, we're talking about something that happened. It's not who you are, so you don't have to have that personal defense up. And I feel like that's what Robbo's got within the Roosters,
mm.
because he goes on and on and on about, you know, our actions and what we show and, you know, how we behave for each other. He says he has a lot of words like that in his press conferences and his interviews. And that's a perfect example with Radley. Mm. If you can go out there and publicly smash something that he's done, that comes across as, holy fuck, he's roasted this cunt in public. Whereas if you've got a culture of, well, hang on, no, he knows. I'm not talking about him. He knows what I think about him.
Mm.
I'm talking about an incident. That's a powerful thing to have amongst your players.
Fair.
On the socials. Brendo in the Facebook group said, I don't think the Roosters trouble many of the top sides in this finals, but goal kicking is a serious issue going forward. That is true. There were, well, they kicked three of seven.
Yeah, I was looking at that before.
Mm, that's 8 points on, you know, left on the field.
Yep.
Can hurt you. Riggs in the Facebook group. Riggs. And Angus Crichton, most improved player in the NRL. The Chooks looked 200% better when he came on. I don't think his form this year and his form last year, like, he wasn't that bad to be the most improved, is what I'm saying. Mm. I'm not saying he's not great.
I mean, he's always been a very good player and, you know, graduated to be, you know, paid a lot of money by the Roosters. And, I don't know how much improvement he had in his. I've always, you know, rated him, to be honest.
Yeah, again, so we all think he's great, so you can't be most improved if you're already too great.
Yeah.
At DeanK88 on Twitter, said, East sealing the game with a back running around untouched, as is tradition. A_ Cadell01, it's the initial hope that really kills you. I take solace in knowing next year with Townsend, having momentary hope won't be an issue. And at the Biggest Tiger, with Keary, this Roosters team could be top four. Well, you know, yes, with Cooper Cronk, they could also be top four, but they don't play. So yeah, yeah. They're not.
And, throw Ben Moz back in there. And
is Keary done, or is he retired?
No, retired. You mean injured for the year? Injured, you mean
ACL.
That's what I'm saying. But is that, have they said he'll come back next year? Or are they.
Keary's yeah. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Keary's young.
It's only an ACL. I know he's young.
He's, what? I don't understand where do you get these retirement vibes from, though. He's fucking playing. He's got years left, man.
You reckon?
It's not brain injury.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, look, you know, I'm upset enough about BMOS retiring, especially considering he's got literally a fucking walking spare parts shop at the elite level that could, you know, throw him some fucking tendons. He doesn't have to, like, grab something off a cadaver. I
mean, yeah. So you reckon Keary comes back next year?
Of course he does.
Fuck.
Is there like another Keary that's like 36 years old or something?
No, I don't know. After the head knock stuff and the time and then coming back from an ACL,
Yeah, I think his head. I think his head is. His head would enjoy nearly a full year rest. It may prolong his career, if anything, extend his career. Right, you done with those socials?
We're done.
Right, okay. The Raiders, 34, defeated the Sharks 18, down there at Hope Solo, and the Raiders tries to Rapana, White and Hudson Young, Xavier Savage and Semi Valame, Croker, four conversions, three penalty goals, defeating the Sharks 18 with tries to Ramian, Katoa, and the Moot, and three conversions to Trindle.
Far closer game than the scoreline really indicates. Canberra scored two late tries to run away with it, but pretty competitive, I thought, for the Sharks. Braden Trindle doesn't seem to get a lot of raps, but he's quietly putting some impressive performances together for the Sharks. His ball play is a tough little nugget too, and had some really nice touches in this game, I thought. And is he Tricky Trindle's son?
I assume, but I don't want to go on the record. I mean, because he could be nephew or something. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Fact checked here.
No,
well, I could fact check, fair. I suppose. But
yeah. We could. Jay, you would have been a big fan of Xavier Savage making his debut and playing well and getting the commentators talking and opening the door for a decade of X Factor references.
Look, Lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of fuckhead commentators.
I love it. I still don't know that the Raiders, you know, they close this game out impressively. And they stuck in the game in what was a pretty competitive game, but I still don't know that it answers all the questions about where the Raiders are at or whether they're on an upward tick now. But
look, here's the thing. It's easy for us to sit here and be like, yeah, okay, the Raiders have had a terrible season. They failed in the second half. They've beaten some pretty dodgy teams. You know, the Sharks aren't really great opposition. Easy for us to say that on the other side of microphones. It's much harder when there's, you know, 1,300-plus kilo blokes running at you that you've got to stop to be considered poor opposition. And I think that every game the Raiders can win, no matter if it's by 2 or by 20, is just a little bit more in the confidence tank.
Mm.
And that's crucial for them because they'd kicked that yoke off of the Faders from a couple of years back. And it came back mighty fucking fast. There was a couple of games, all of a sudden it's back in everyone else's mind and it's back in theirs as well. So I think games like this are crucial to them stepping through and really trying to get back that confidence they had. Sharks, on the other hand, I can't put my finger on what it might be to them, but they still don't seem to have adapted to the new style of play. As in, you must be fast, you must be meticulous, you must be disciplined. They still seem to want to be these, you know, bad boys and, you know, get everyone into a grind and niggle and, you know, really slow you down and knock you out of your rhythm, which, you know, won them a premiership, to be fair.
Yeah, but having said that, I don't think they have that kind of toughness anyway, like at the moment anyway.
No, they don't. Exactly. So, hey, maybe this is what happens when you dump a popular coach that had a bunch of guys probably overachieving midway through the year. And doesn't help, you know, things like Johnson's checked out. He checked out as soon as he fucking signed his contract.
Yep.
You've got Aaron Woods there talking about wanting to get out. So how much harmony can there be in that team when you've got that? I think it's going to be a rough end of the season for the poor old Sharkies, unfortunately. Anyone else got anything to add?
No.
Nice. The Biddles won on Instagram. He said, that was hard to watch. It pains my green ass to say, but clearly both teams are making up the numbers. Interesting. And with a completely alternate take, Rishi said, when equally average teams play, the game can be excitingly close for a neutral. Mitch in the Facebook group said, "This is not the first time I've been let down by the Moot." That is absolutely fucking terrible. Terry said, "What an enjoyable game. I am now interested in who will win Tier 3. Fuck, so there you go. Can we formalise this, please?
I tried to do it the other day. I heard a guy
I think we should formalise it.
Let's formalise it on the Facebook group.
After round 21, I think we'll have a better picture.
Okay.
Because the Storm play Manly and Penrith back-to-back weeks, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Like 2021, I think, around
Yep.
So around there, I might have it wrong by a week or something. But yeah, 19, 20. No, it's not 1990s next week.
In the meantime, yeah. I'll start a thread on the Facebook group. Give us your tiers.
Yep. Yep.
Tier 1, 2, and 3 are all that matters.
Yep.
So it's either tier 1, 2, and then everyone else is 3. Or, you know, tier 1, 2, and 3, fuck everyone else.
Yeah, you may want to split the top 6 into 3 tiers rather than perhaps 2.
Well, no, it's talking about who's of the same quality. There might be 2 in tier 1 and 5 in tier 2.
What I'm saying is, though, is like there's tiers that have the top 6 team in them, in whatever, and then there's the last fucking 12 or the last 10 are... They're in whatever's the shit tier, whatever the number is after that. So yes, you can split the top
tears of a clown. Why didn't you join in, Glenn? Haven't heard that one?
Nah, I've heard it.
Counting Crows didn't cover it.
You're a fucking cock.
Okay, I'll just say I did a bit of Google foo and Trindle has. At first, I was going to say he has no relationship whatsoever to Tricky, but apparently he's a distant relation.
Oh, okay,
Much the same as. Oh no, I won't say that because I won't dox you. But yeah, I was going to tie you to a player.
Willie said, absolutely, refs faulting the fuck out of this game. I'm going to recruit whoever bullied Chechen out of the NRL to work on Grant Atkins.
I fucking hate Grant Atkins too. Who said that one? You're my people. I fucking hate that
Willie.
Guy too.
He's
Manly has some games too, cunt.
Yeah. Greg said, 62 missed tackles. Fuck me. At least I'm getting myself prepared to cheer when the Special Olympics rolls around. Solzy said, really enjoyed that game. I haven't really enjoyed many games this year, but fuck, I enjoyed that one. Savage looking a really good prospect. Fuck yeah. How good is it? Like, when your season's an absolute fucking write-off and you get like this one young player come through and all of a sudden you win an imaginary premierships in 3 years' time. Everything's fucking rosy. It's a fucking powerful drug, rugby league.
That sounds like something to me. You'd call that Tiger Syndrome or something, wouldn't you? I mean, there's always a Rudolph or a Simkin or a fucking Walters or... There's always some...
Rudolph!
You know, I guess there was We'll go back to fucking... I mean, I remember there used to be a... they can literally go back to the start of this show and earlier. There's fucking, Moulton, and then there's a Tedesco. And the funny thing is, sometimes you land that bet and then they fuck off to another club.
Yeah.
Before they quite, reach that destiny.
Here's the thing. Penrith can be guilty of that as well. Like the amount of next great halves we've had come through our junior system. Dominated at that level.
Yeah.
And have ended up not doing much.
Yeah, but you also have enough of them that, it's not as painful because, the only reason they're not enough when they hit first grade is often because there's a better one.
Yeah, true.
In-house.
True. That's us. On to the next game.
Okay, where are we? I think it's the Storm's game. Storm, 48, defeat the Knights 4. Down there at Hope Solo. And this is, the Saturday games, fuck me, it looked empty down there. And I mean, like, I get it. Like, these are a very last minute location changes, venue changes, and to teams that have nothing to do with anything. But, I mean, Gold Coast, fuck, get out there. Apparently they were doing like double header tickets for like $20 to watch the games, you know, so fucking get out there, man. The Storm's tries came through a double to Justin Olam. Nico Hines, Munster, a double to Jennings, Jerome Hughes, Remus Smith tries, Hines, 8 conversions, and the Knights, a solitary try to Dominic Young. Okay, like looks like the Predator. Yeah, obviously not in that. He looks more like the Predator than Ockenbore, but yet he's less of a Predator. But yeah.
I think the Knights would have been up against it, obviously, in this game at even at full strength. But Mitchell Pearce ruled out before the game, and then they lost Clemmer and Ponga to HIAs. All adds up to a scoreline like this in the end. Storm pretty clinical. Probably an unpopular opinion, but Jerome Hughes, with his consistency and how good he's been in so many games this season, I feel like the fact that his higher profile teammates, flashy plays, I feel like they take Dally M points away from him. And he has every right to be in contention for the Dally M. He's just so consistent, and I reckon they're certainly in the games, and they haven't lost many, in the games of Storm 1, he would have to have been in the points in the vast majority of those games.
What you're describing though has probably been a Storm problem since like fucking 2005, and because of course, you know, when you got Billy Slater, Greg Inglis, Israel Folau, you know, all these guys taking points off each other as well. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Though.
It was nice to see Bellamy gave him a fair rap in the press conference, and you know, he's really. You know, Bellamy went so far as to say, and, you know, you wouldn't expect him to come out and go, yeah, there's fucking 5 other halfbacks in the comp I'd prefer to have. But, you know, he said we wouldn't swap him for anyone else in the comp. He's, you know, he's so important to their side. So,
yeah,
he's having a real breakout year, and it's good to see. I like him as a player.
What do you got to say for yourself, Jay?
Mate, what else do you say about this? Melbourne just keep on doing Melbourne things. It's that typical Storm performance we've seen for a couple of years now, where it's obvious that each of the players has half a dozen or so things that they know they must do every single game, and each of them go out there and execute.
Yeah.
It's such a simple game plan, and it's such a simple system they have in defence that relies on, I would say, unparalleled trust and knowing exactly what the guy on the side of you is going to do.
Does make it quite entertaining, and we saw this in one of the games this afternoon, when the people inside or outside of you have no fucking idea what you're going to do.
Yes.
Yeah. They really are the benchmark of the competition. So much so that they can complete at well under 80%, which is low for a team, you know, running first, and especially when to clock near 50.
The only reason they didn't get 50 is because they declined an easy penalty kick that would have made 50, and B, because like their last, probably in the last 5-6 minutes of the game, every set where they were reasonably close was ended with a, you know, just driving it over the sideline.
Yeah,
I mean, they clearly were in the mentality of like, fuck it, let's just run this out.
But 10 line breaks.
Yeah.
10 line breaks. That's just people around the ball backing up, putting the defense in two minds. Constantly for 80 minutes. Sensational effort. On the socials
Shout out to Olam as well. I mean, he's gone from like, you know, a physically gifted, like, you know, like a fast player that could put a hit on.
Yeah.
But, you know, made mistakes and did some dumb shit, you know, shooting out of the line and things like that in defense because he does like to put a hit on. Now, he's fucking rubbed all that shit out of his game. I mean, he's an excellent attacking player. He's exactly where he needs to be. Defense, he still puts the hits on, but he doesn't do the dumb shit. Oh, he's a prototype player that Bellamy loves. And he's just, he's obviously found himself to be, so, you know, proven himself to be someone that can be molded exactly into what that team needs.
Well, again, what more can you ask from a new player than to come in and hone your craft?
Yeah.
Yes, you're very good at some aspects of rugby league. Now, here are the bits that take some fucking study and discipline and time. Go get better at them. Oh, okay, yeah, fuck yeah. Cool.
Yep, yep.
I'd have him any day.
And I love, like, George Jennings, you know, like he's floated around clubs and, you know, never been that great or anything. You know, playing great, you know, found a home there. Remus Smith. Yeah. I mean, you know, going from literally the gutter.
Yeah.
Of fucking Bulldogs.
It's funny. You look at them and those players, like all of those players you've named, you know, you think of great players anyway. Like think of Tommy Turbo, right? Where is he going to be? What position is he going to be a great player in? You know, most positions on the field. He's going to be great at one. If you need him at two or three as well. Two or four. He'd be a serviceable six. He'd probably end up even playing lock if you really needed him to.
Yeah.
But what Bellamy does is he turns those players into a great position.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Olam is a great centre. He just does everything right that a centre needs to do.
Yep.
So, SeanDog70 on Instagram said, as a Knights fan in Shamesville, I feel like that dude who rolls up the stone up the hill and then it comes down again. Is O'Brien really Sisyphus? Should I start supporting the Broncos instead? Should I just get some rocky road and do the shove of shame? So many emotions right now. Yet another humiliating loss. Fucking shout out for the Sisyphus reference. What a fucking intellectual podcast we are. How good.
I love the shove of shame, if I'm honest.
There we go. Brilliant. See? I'm shouting out Sisyphus and you're laughing and shove of shame.
That's fucking funny. I like it.
Oh, God. Sam Carriage 89 said, Knights fan here. Rick James is killing us. Yes, he was. Stephen in the Facebook group said, yep, Knights are indeed getting a really good look at exactly how far away that line is. Hashtag reality check. Adam said, remove finger of hope. Insert large fist of reality. Ross said, I've said it before, but the Knights are by far the worst team on the six tackle at either end. I would love to know how many length of field tries have been scored off our attacking kicks in the last 10 years. Now, this is something, if you'd have said to me, what team does this happen to the most? I would not have had the Knights at all in contention. But it's got to be one of those things. It's like the Tyrone Peachy of plays. Like fans of every other team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, saw Tyrone Peachy and were like, oh, that's some fucking electrifying shit. It'd only be something Newcastle fans would realise. So Knights fans, tell me, is this something that sits with you? Do you feel that that's true? If someone wants to go and fact check it with stats, feel free. But
it's not good. Yeah, I read that.
No. And finally, Troy said, you know that feeling when you really wish you were somewhere else? That's me right now. Fuck you, purple wrestling cheating cunts. So I take it from that he was at the ground. Well done.
Okay, moving on to this afternoon. The Panthers, 30, defeat the Warriors, 16. The Panthers had a try as a double to kick out. A double to Charlie Staines. To'o and Liam Martin tries. Crichton, 3 of 6 conversions, defeating the Warriors, 16. Tries to Wade Egan, Reece Walsh, and Rocco Berry. Reece Walsh, 2 of 3 conversions.
Wade Egan revenge game. Oh, he's back. And he's scoring tries. It was nice to see the stand-in Penrith halves a little bit more comfortable. Tyrone Mays finding his groove. And that groove is squarely that he has a pretty good understanding of some of the philosophy of playing in the seven or playing in the halves, but he is not an athlete. And unfortunately, in the Panthers at the moment, that's what he's replacing. He's replacing two guys who their biggest benefit at the moment is the speed and energy that they play with and the athleticism that they bring to that attack. So, he is firmly that half. You saw it today, you know, the massive long Harbour Bridge passes. His vision is very good And some of his execution at times can be very, very good. But that's where it begins and ends with him as a half. The rest of the side seems to be growing in confidence as well without the guys out. They've completed at 82%, which was crucial for them in this game. The past couple of weeks without their origin players or without their injured players, they'd really let themselves down with handling and discipline. So it was very impressive to see them get back to that low mistake level of football. It's not where they need to be to knock off some of the better sides. But all in all, it was their running game. They clocked over 1,900 running metres in that game. And fuck me, Fisher Harris. I don't know how I'm actually saying this when the, you know, being obviously the greatest team to ever play rugby league, but they're also the greatest underrated team to ever play rugby league.
Who's like underrated Isaiah, Penrith?
No one.
The players. So Isaiah Yeo is still the most underrated player in the game. From the way he played this afternoon and was, you know, setting up tries, you know, setting up the play before tries, he'd probably walk into the number 6 or 7 jersey at any other club except Penrith. And James Fisher-Harris is going to be the next immortal. Like the way he has revolutionised the prop position.
In fucking J-Land.
I'm just going to say, I have copped so much shit from so many people over this season and the last several. And I wasn't even part of this fucking show for dumb shit that I said in the first 6 years that I hosted this podcast. And none of what I said was as dumb as that.
I think it's interesting.
Drink your fucking diabetes.
It's interesting that losing Tohu Harrison and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck like in the first fucking 20 minutes, and Wade Egan afterwards, and the Warriors playing with no bench for like the second half, and ultimately only getting run down when they were fucking exhausted through having no available interchange players.
Look, I think
especially with middles playing the kinds of minutes that they never, you know, unheard of.
There you go. So right now, the two of you are underrating James Fisher-Harris. So thank you for proving my point that they are the most underrated side.
I didn't say anything about Fisher-Harris, though. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he was included in what you were saying. When you were saying Penrith, he was included in that statement. But here's my secret fucking shame. Do you know how many times happened to Penrith last year?
What happened to Penrith?
Did they beat teams because they fucking frittarded themselves with HIAs, or their best player came out and like did an ACL in the first fucking 10 minutes? Go back through last season.
How many? Do you have a number?
I don't, but it was a fucking lot of them. It was a fucking lot of them.
So they're just built on a fucking bedrock of other teams' misfortunes.
Our season rests on a fucking throne of lies.
I will say, though, that several substandard full-strength sides have been blown out by 40 or 50 this season, and the Warriors kept things respectable with only 13 fit players finishing this game. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Well, once again, we can, we all love the Warriors, blah, blah, blah. So brave, but this time they actually earned it.
Yeah. This time the Warriors, genuine, and their fans, genuine recipients of sympathy and empathy from the fans of other clubs. Yep. That must be a wonderful fucking feeling.
Well done. It's a warm and fuzzy way to feel after getting beaten again and again.
Yes, true.
And again.
That's true. John said, looks like our reserve halves are starting to click. Hashtag fuck the Warriors. Brendo said, is Walsh a dairy farmer? Little cunt does that much milking. I tell you what, he had a couple of good ones today, but I hope he doesn't get that reputation. I hope he doesn't turn into a fucking Trey Young.
Nah.
You know?
Surely.
NRL fucking thing. Oh,
I would like to see some more specific, examples of the milking ones, because I mean the one that I can
remember, the crusher tackle was a fucking what was crushed? What was really?
He's young, he's youthful fucking, vertebrae.
His eyelashes.
And I mean, Nathan. I know when they're that young, you know, I mean, they just, you know, they bounce and the bones just bend. They don't break. But yeah, still.
That cunt, he's old enough. You chuck him in a swimming pool, he still opens his eyes under instinct. Fuck me. Nathan in the Facebook group said, Penrith was so brave. So brave. These players haven't seen their families for a week and most are backing up from Origin. Also, playing with a centre and a div 4 utility in the halves. Shane said, think I'd rather watch an 80-minute Craig McLaughlin comedy special than see another game of May and Burton steering this side. Shunter said, Tyrone finally put the boot into his troubled past. I didn't even know. He settled the civil suit. Right. This week.
Wonder how much that cost him.
And now he's lobbing Harbour Bridge passes for tries like it's before the 2020 grand final. Third best half of the club. Look at him go. At Backwards Sit on Twitter said, those Warriors are bloody useless. Hunt for the Wilder people in 2016. Still relevant today. Yes, they were. And Sean Anthony 76 simply said, Penrith were going through the motions. I don't think it was that complimentary to Panthers. The Warriors weren't exactly at full strength, but we'll take it. That's it.
All right. It's time. The West Tigers, 42, defeated the Brisbane Broncos, 24, to retain their grip on the Glenn Blakely Fairweather Cup.
What'd you call it last week? Me-wee Cup. Kind of thing you are.
Oh no! Was that on the show? Did I say that to you?
No. Yeah. No, it was on the show. The me we fucking cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they your pronouns now, Glenn?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
The Tigers' tries came through Luciano Leilua, Dane Laurie, Pauga with a try on debut, Itoikamanu try. What do we got? Tommy Talau with a double, and David Nofaluma getting a double, thereby sending himself to the top of the West Tigers try scoring rankings.
He deserves that.
All time. Dewey, 5 conversions. The Broncos, 24 tries to Oates, Ricky Flegler and Katoni Staggs. Asako, 3 conversions and a penalty goal. Off you go, Glennie. Let it rip, mate.
Look, I'll say, first of all, Big Steph took the Origin experience and made, you know, to his full advantage, being around the group and experiencing that, you know, by all reports from people around the club, he's come back with his, you know, head held high and he showed it in this game. He was massive for the Tigers, I thought. Dewey in the centres, it's clearly had its time. It's a bit like a toilet brush in the arsehole. The experiment's happened. Whilst there's a bit of residual bloodshed and a few stains and a horrible smell, things are now back to where they should be. And he's got the 6 on his back and he played like a fucking champion today. I think he had 4 try assists, a couple of line breaks, offloads, back where he should be. And we looked a better side for it. It's almost embarrassing that the Tigers, with the way they've played this year at times, at the Melbourne game and the South game, two horrible examples of just how bad they can be. They're a win or two out of the 8, and two difficult games in the run home with Manly and Penrith, but the rest of our games are quite winnable, which means we'll probably lose all of them. But if we can win the majority of those games and make the 8, that is going to be very embarrassing for teams like the fucking Titans and their cunt fans, and the Dragons and their cunt fans, and you know, the Knights and their cunt
Raiders,
fans,
Sharks.
Raiders, Sharks, oh,
Titans.
Please, I'm going to be fucking insufferable. But we may now go on a fucking 7-game losing streak, so whatever.
Your only worry,
what's my
is
only
if
worry?
You is if you need to win the last game of the season.
Yeah, 100% I'm betting against them.
or just need to not lose it by a certain amount.
Exactly.
And that amount, could be correct. 70.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter. It could be 90. It wouldn't fucking matter. And we know it doesn't matter. History is written.
Due to budget cuts this week, our defensive coach is David Nofaluma.
Did you see? I am liking him, and I'm loath, Jay, to give you any fucking credit at any stage, but you really fucking opened my eyes to David Nofaluma some time ago, and I watch him a whole lot more closely now as a result, and he's turning into a bit of a cunt.
Yep.
Today, he got tackled or went to take a run, and he realised he was going to run behind one of the other players, so he sort of stopped and got tackled, and as the other players sort of, you know, referee called held, before he gets to play the ball, he's like fucking, oh, you know, hands out, like, you know, what the fuck are you doing? The fuck?
Yeah.
Like, shut up, mate. Throwing his teammates on a bus? Like,
I don't know. And maybe it was me. Like, I sit firmly in the I needed to fucking work very hard to make up for a lack of natural athletic ability, which is why fucking carrying on undeservedly on both ends is such fucking, like, it turns my stomach.
Mm.
It turns my fucking stomach. And there's a difference between, you know, confidence or youthful hubris coming in. Like, you know, I look at Luai and To'o and those guys, and that doesn't really fall into this category, but carrying on like you're fucking the next coming after a terrible season, including many horrible personal performances, that just turns my fucking stomach.
And I still don't know what the actual there's an algorithm or something to it, but there's just whether it's the speed of two passes from the ruck where he is then found to be 6 meters inside his opposition winger.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what it is, but I fucking hate the fact that you've pointed it out and that I watch it so much more closely now,
and
probably and to look, go, hey, you were wrong, but you were 100% right, and it's very frustrating.
And look, here's the thing. People do deal with things differently. Maybe he needs to do that to keep himself confident, to keep himself any sort of confident. I don't know the guy. I don't know how he ticks.
Mm.
All I'm talking about is how it comes across.
Mm.
But at some stage, it stops being his fault.
To him?
You know? Well, at some stage, if everyone else can see it and the club's not doing anything about it, like, there are defensive coaches, right? There are defensive coaches in
not
that club.
Not at the Tigers, there aren't.
But again, it's like it's not something that should be news. Like, you know, someone brought it up recently when Vunivalu got called out on social media. He came back and replied and just went, "Well, you know what? When this happened, I did this. When this happened, I did this. When this happened, I did this. I'm completely happy with my decisions."
Mm.
Yep.
And it was, oh, okay, fuck, there's some coaching going on there. Yep. No worries. This is what he did. This is why I did it. Yeah, fair enough. At what stage is fucking don't come that far in from your opposite?
Yeah.
A concept that no one can pass along. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
I will say, Sorry.
I was just gonna say, like, I mean, it's become far more about not fair than it needed to. But this game, until about like the 60th minute, it felt like the Broncos were extremely and comfortably in control of the game, despite whether the Tigers were ahead by two or, you know, a try or whatever. You know, when they sort of were going try for try there a bit around like the 24-20 or, you know, around that sort of, like, the Broncos still felt comfortably in control until they weren't. Yeah, you know what I mean,
and when they weren't, we've seen that with the Broncos several times.
Yeah,
when they're in the game, they're in the game. When they're not in the fucking game, they're not even at the ground.
Yeah, and this, like, if, like, Broncos fans watching this game would It's fucking this, like, it must be just an absolute nightmare to see shit like this play out, because this is nothing like the team's been in its history. And I mean, this is like this, it's just poor team rugby league.
They're just not good.
Mentality, resilience, they've just got none of it. And then you've got guys like Payne Haas, who's just fucking unstoppable, fucking workhorse of a machine, has to play in his fucking team. And as I only found, I was this many years old when I found out that at Christmas time, Payne Haas got his management to approach the Broncos to say, look, can I get a release to take up an opportunity at Manly? And fuck me, what a sliding doors moment, and I wish he had been able to do that.
Wow.
Poor cunt. And now, last week they were talking about the Broncos were talking like a 10-year deal. Sort of Tamalolo-ish deal. Yeah, fucking hell.
Hilarious. But,
Jesus.
Yeah. I was happy with the second half and the way they finished the game. They seemed to get their tails up and enjoyed it and looked like they were enjoying their footy. Tommy Talau had some good moments, finally being played in his right position of right centre. And, young centre on Dubu getting a try. Tui Simpkins did some hard work in the middle as well in his debut, and they'll be better for it. And Manly next week, kill me now.
Mate, we barely scraped past the Dragons, mate. You'll be right.
You're a fucking... You are a cock.
I would on never get ahead of myself.
On the socials. Peter, the Facebook group, said, looks like our seventh home ground is our best one. John said, someone check Glenny for fluids. He'll look like a raisin at this state. Aaron said, I'm not going to lie, when the Broncos attempted the short kickoff and it didn't go 10 metres, my dick went hard.
You and me both.
Which is the... second greatest use of that line I've heard, first being Ice-T in New Jack City, right at the end. Bethany said, looks like the Broncos spoon is back on the menu. Just need the Tigers to do their duty when they play the Doggies twice in the run home, which is entirely fucking possible.
Mm-hmm. We look at that now today. We stand there today after the Broncos have been beaten by the Tigers by a couple of tries, and we say, oh, they got Doggies twice on the way home. They've got a genuine shot at the finals.
They
and
do.
You know, when that mindset creeps in, that's when you go 0-2 against the Doggies.
That's when you lose all your games and win the spoon.
Lachlan said, I feel like we only bought Brody because he can run, and he can't even do that right.
He was fucking horrible. Horrible today.
That poor fucking kid, hey.
They bought Brody because he was successful in a Storm system.
They thought they were buying Cooper Cronk 2.0. That's what they thought they were
correct.
Buying.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it.
They did not get Cooper Cronk 2.0.
No, they got Wish Cooper Cronk.
It's like the Aldi just a slight variation. Same logo, similar logo, same font, but it said Cooper Gronk. and it was Brody Croft's entire packet.
One Eye Tiger. So the West Tigers have outscored Brisbane Broncos 112-40 over their past three matches. What a time to be alive. There you go. And Jared in the Facebook group said, what odds are Sportsbet running on Real Dad passing out mid-podcast recapping this game due to lack of blood flow to his brain? Not long, tell you that.
We talked about underrated things in this episode, but let's talk about something overrated. I think Jared there is overrating the amount of blood it takes.
It's only a couple of eye drops. We're good.
Yeah.
Couple of eye drops, I'll put a hole in the fucking Gyprock.
Put it that way. Last year on Glenn's anniversary, he had to do a blood sugar test. He went home to the wife and said, bad news, hon. Not enough.
Not enough to go around.
On to the next one.
Finally, the the Rabbitohs 32 defeated the Doggies 24 down there at Hope Solo. The official crowd I'm looking at here is zero. So it felt that way. The Rabbits 32 came through tries to Milne, host Murray Nichols with a double to AJ. Reynolds, 3 conversions and a penalty goal. The Dogs 24 came through tries to Shoop, Corey Allen, Ockenbore, and Biondiotto, and Avarillo, 4 conversions from 4 attempts. Who wants to kick off?
Rabbitohs a bit down on troops, and it showed. They were a long way from their best footy, but you know, as we've seen quite often, the Bulldogs were, you know, competitive in patches, but I don't know that Rabbitohs were really challenged, so to speak.
When you talk about the Rabbitohs being down, they were kind of like they were down in the area of just the total game sort of control aspects, because when they had to score points, they scored them immediately.
Yeah,
but there was this constant letting the Dogs sort of get close to them. That was the real problem for them.
Yeah, I mean, the fact they rested Latrell and Campbell Graham was out, and they had another. Everyone see Lachlan Lewis's little issue at halftime there?
Oh, I fucking love that shit. You know me, NRL chaos is like a drug to me.
Yes,
it was one. And like it was great watching it live too, because when when you see it on TV, like they'd started to go to the coverage. So they sort of show the players walking off the field, and then they go to the camera shot changes to whatever the next thing was going to be. Then they're like, oh, fuck, no, back here. And there's a crush of players on the ground, and they're like, how did we get here? And then they had to go back through and then, you know, show what happened when they changed the shots. I said this on Twitter, but I'll say it again for those who aren't on there. The dumbest fucking thing I've seen the Bulldogs or a Bulldog do since their administration hired Trent Barrett as coach. On it, like, what the fuck? What did Cody Walker say? What could Cody Walker say to inspire such a blatant fucking response that only had one outcome to it?
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe two if he got sent for it, but like, he was always going to the bin for that shit. Like, and it was the most over the top reaction that we've seen in like how long. Like, he's grabbed him from behind and you know, slung him onto the ground. I need to know what he said. Like, what could possibly have been that,
you know, inflammatory,
yeah,
fucking strange.
Yeah.
And it just, you know what? It just shows that Lachlan Lewis is extremely mentally weak, and he can be targeted by every player that comes up against him in the future, and especially if they find out what Cody Walker said and follow the same line of questioning. And Cody Walker, I mean, he has got like he's got a ton of cunt in his game. Like,
hasn't he?
Because, like, this is not the first time a player has reacted grumbly to something that he, you know, to him. So he is obviously a master, and I'll talk about underrated again. His shit talk game.
Do you reckon that he's just firing headshots a couple of times, or if it's just like mundane shit that he says like 30 times during the course of a game? Because I think he's that good. I don't think he's firing like headshots, or he's going straight for their mums or partners or whatever it is.
He's like, when you watch him on, he is nonstop. I'll give him that. It must have been a headshot as they're walking off.
But this is what
like
I'm saying.
Emotional and like in, you know, a lack of.
Yeah, but when we're talking headshots, we're talking like one line that's just like, oh my God, I can't believe he went there. Whereas what I'm saying is, I think if you find out what he said, it would be, you know, it would be disproportionate. The response would be disproportionate to what he said, because he's just gone and gone and gone and gone and gone and gone and gone. And the straw that breaks the camel's back isn't an oak.
I need referee mic footage of that entire, what started it, what was said on each side, because it was like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Then it was headshot. Okay, I'm taking this to the physical realm.
Fucking hell. The socials on this, on Twitter, at Stoic Bunny said, "What the fuck am I watching?" When you've made Stoic Bunny go non-stoic, that's a fucking achievement.
Yeah.
You know, you get to train hard. Your stoicism should be, what would a stoic say? "I am watching the fuck." That's stoic. At Andrew in the Facebook group said, "The Bulldogs are thinking of installing a hinge on Barrett's neck just to make it easier to shake his head in disbelief at the stupid things his team does every week." God. And I'll tell you what, Dogs fans, that's all this shit's doing. It's extending Trent, because no longer is it he lost games by large margins or he had the team fucking horribly prepared. It's, "Oh, well, did you see that fucking thing Lachlan Lewis did? That wasn't Trent's fault. You can't coach out of that." Terry said, "For a guy who is known for attacking a man facing the other way, Walker loves talking smack and turning his back." Steve said, "Lewis sin binned after the halftime siren. The Bulldogs keep finding new ways to entertain the people. Undefeated in the tin pot pub side meme." Oh, no, they're not undefeated in the meme club competition. I'm sorry, Steve. There's one side clearly owns the title of the meme club of meme clubs.
There's a side out there that we're recording this on Sunday, late Sunday night. There's a side out there that at 7:30 p.m. on Monday on KO on Foxtel is having a fucking documentary. And I was telling my wife about this show and how fucking great it was going to be and how it was probably going to destroy Glenn's mental health. And yeah, she understood. She, I mean, because she's seen, years, known over a decade, and she's seen you suffer through football shit.
She's been in the home while
I was fucking like painting your entire head in maroon and white and shit. she's seen it. But even she was watching. Then the trailer came on. We were watching it, and I'm just like, I'm going to be fucking just like, I'm going to have this on KO on my second monitor and I'm just going to be pausing it, screenshot, pause, screenshot, just to build up this database of fucking meme material. And the trailer alone.
I counted 12 different things. I'm like, yep, he'll make something out of that, and that, and that. I wasn't even trying and I found and 12.
It was a 1 minute commercial. Four-part documentary.
But do you know how much use I'm going to get out of this one screenshot I took of their center of excellence?
It's a donger.
And just be able to, like, Photoshop someone. Just Photoshop someone's head in the
elite,
window.
Elite training. Let's say elite something. Like, elite training something. Like, oh, fuck me. We knew that was coming because we know someone who got the full video, the full tour of the facilities.
But this is the thing, though. They unironically present it as an elite training facility. Like, yeah. I don't know if you've ever traveled Asia, but, you go over there, there are ladyboys in Thailand who don't actually present themselves as ladies. Like, they understand that you need to know what you're buying. The West Tigers unironically present it as an elite training facility. To close it off after that long digression, no, the Bulldogs are not the memeiest meme club of them all. There is one club that watches the Bulldogs and then our Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the television screen at that club.
And also I think just genuinely thankful for the existence of the other club.
That's us.
So in That's the round of action. So that brings us to the end of episode 417. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in many ways, social media and more. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links and you'll can get links to all our social media communities, our Patreon and more. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron. Patreon.com/ToolNation. Get in there and... there's many levels that you can support the show, and we love our patrons. On that note, actually, give a shout out to a couple of our wonderful patrons. Anthony, thank you, sir. Dean, who is a great supporter of the show and a Pokemon buddy of mine as well, so fucking shout out to Dean. And finally, Mark, thank you guys for your support. We appreciate you motherfuckers. And patreon.com/ToolNation if you would like to join the ranks and get some extra content and some merch for some levels, which we'll start rolling out really soon. Tipping. I've neglected the tipping over the last couple of weeks in terms of reading out the scores. And there has been a change in the landscape of the tipping competition. And so who do we have here?
We're floating a documentary to Netflix on that. You know, on our elite tipping center of excellence.
And, yeah, and it'll be super.
It's a bin.
And so, but the number one tipster, you know, we've had these discussions in the past about how people are like, you know, how do you roll with the tipping? Do you, like, for example, Glenn, I'll ask you, do you tip the Tigers every time, or do you, or are you like at times you like next week, for example, you're like, oh, well, no, I want to win the tip, so I'm going to have to pick Manly. Yeah.
Never tipped against the Tigers ever.
Yeah. Then you get someone who's at the top of our table whose name is Barrett Belmore. How can you be at the top of the table and tipping the Bulldogs to win games? and they're on top. It's a four-way tie at top. How about the tip? Some back and Jim Ikea, who was our perennial leader. Actually, no, we've got a couple as well. We've got Mitch Rich and Benny Tippy, all of those guys. It is a six-way tie at the top. And then 1 point back, we've got Griswold 2021, Bandit 2-Niner, Aldi Rock, and War Mess. Oh, Aldi Rock. We know Aldi Rock is in the Facebook group.
Nice.
Yeah, Aldi the Rock and War Mess. So, yeah, it's good competition. 1 point from first to 10th. Get in there and... you'll find links to our tipping competition on the aforementioned link tree on thisweekinleague.com/links. If you'd like to join, if you're already on Footy Tips and you want to bring your current good or shit form into our competition, be my guest.
Can I give a final shout out to a couple of listeners who have done sensational work over the last week with all the games being up here in Queensland, of the Twill Nation merch with the footy player photos.
Yes.
There were some fucking sensational ones at State of Origin.
Yep.
Levius is fucking the GOAT for getting a ref's fault scarf photo with Captain Cuntox.
Yep.
like just unapologetically with him. And I'm sure he would have had some choice words for him. As well, knowing Levius.
No, I'm sure he would have been like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan. Cameron, can I get a photo with you?
Paraman, Mark II, I saw today down there as well, going so far as to get the ref's fault scarf on TV.
Yep.
During a run out from the tunnel. Unfortunately, it was only half of it because of his little fucking mutant baby arms, but you know,
you've got to kind of get down beside the tunnel rather than the top of it there. Yeah.
But fuck me. So it's just showing, like, our Melbourne fans have been fucking amazing with this.
Yes.
We've had Canberra fans or people that live in Canberra get it done, and now all of a sudden it's happening in Queensland.
It's great.
Like, fucking hell, Sydney. Yeah, as Gladys said, you can't do something.
And it's so good that we can get photos. But it's also so great now that everyone's pitching in and getting the show out there and getting their scarves and merch and stuff on TV and stuff to such an extent that we can really bury that one with JDB.
Yes, let's get that out of there. That's That's the next one. So get them out there. Send them to us so we can get them up on the socials for you. Yeah. Give you the credit you deserve.
Yeah, and Queensland fans, well done. I mean, it's the ultimate time to try and get it done as well with you know, the competition up here for at least the next 3 weeks.
Spot on.
Okay, that's it. That's all I got anyway.
That's us. Fellas.
Talk to you boys on Wednesday for the preview app.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.